Hey people, before we start today's show, I have two amazing news for you. The first one is, we are having our first live event in December this year. Did you hear that? We'll be hosting all of you all, our Lagos listeners, we'll be hosting you to an amazing hangout. We're going to be having speakers, we're going to be having worship, prayer, karaoke, fellowshipping, journaling. So many amazing things that we've packed in this event, and we cannot wait to have you guys. The second announcement or the second news is that we're also launching some merchandise and our journal. This journal has been in the works for over 7 years, guys. I've been wanting to create this journal for that long, and I am so glad that this journal is finally here, and I cannot wait for you guys to get your hands on them. So there's a link in the description, there's a link on our social media pages. If you're signed up to our email list, you probably already received the email with the link. You guys go and grab your early bird discount now. Your early bird ticket, your early bird discount on our journal and the merch that we have. You don't want to miss all these goodies. You know how our tribers behave before everything is sold out. So go click on the link in all our bio, all our description, and grab your early bird ticket now. Get one for your best friend, get one for your girlfriend, and let us come and fellowship together as we end 2022. I cannot wait to see you guys there. Now let's start today's show. Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Grace Woman Podcast. This is the fifth episode of season 5, and it's been filled with wisdom back to back. Thank you guys so much for listening, sharing, and leaving your beautiful feedback. Today, we have our second guest on the show, and we'll be chatting about something very dear to the heart. We'll be talking on navigating seasons in toxic relationship. That's right. Before we proceed, I'll briefly introduce our guest, because she would also introduce herself. Our guest today is Tomisin Oyerinde. Did I pronounce it well?
You try.
I try. AKA the Upper Dimpled Girl. AKA Imole. I've known Tomisin for how many years? 5 years. 5 years. I met her at a business school in Ibadan, and it's been so beautiful having her in my close circle. She's a bridal hairstylist. She styled my hair for my wedding. She's one of the best travel and tour guides in Lagos, Nigeria. She's a badass content creator. And plenty things more. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome Tomisin.
Woo! Woo! Please, I don't have any other she has said it all. She has said it all. There's nothing I want to say again. Aside from the fact that my name is Oluwa Tomisin Oyerinde.
Wow.
Yeah.
What did I say?
Anyways, but yeah, she has said it all, actually.
So there's no other thing you want to tell us there?
There's no other thing.
All these people that will just come here and just be forming humble.
I'm humble.
All right.
Yeah.
So today, like I said, we're going to be talking about navigating seasons in toxic relationships. But before we dive into that, if you are to describe the season of life that you are now, currently, using one word or one sentence, what would it be?
The season of life that I am in now, I would say season of healing. Yeah, healing.
Okay.
I would have asked why. Why would you use that word? But I think that healing is self-explanatory.
I guess.
Yeah. Or do you have any explanation?
I think as we're talking,
okay,
it would be obvious.
Okay. All right. So when people hear about toxic relationships, the first thing that comes to their mind is marriage or sexual abuse, sexual relationship. But toxicity in relationships actually affects all kinds of relationships. A relationship with your parents, your siblings, friends, co-workers can be toxic. And I think that the most toxic relationships are the one that you cannot technically break out of, if you get what I mean. If you have an issue with a friend or a co-worker, you can somehow break out of it. But if that even with a partner, with your husband or wife, there are people that go through divorce because of that. But when it's something that affects, for example, your sibling or your parents, people that you are literally stuck together for life, I think that those ones are the ones that can be the most toxic and the ones that can really hurt. So share with us, what was your first experience with a toxic relationship, and what were the things that sort of acted as a pointer to show, okay, there's something happening here, this is not right?
Okay, breathing
out. You can do this.
Okay, so first of all, thank you for having me on your podcast, even though I've been trying to run away from this, but yeah, here I am.
You're welcome.
So I would say my first experience with a toxic relationship was in my family.
Okay.
And by family, I mean the whole, my parents and siblings. So we're just four: my mom, my dad, myself, and my elder brother. And you know, while growing up, I knew that something was not right, but the whole, now people are talking more of this whole toxic relationships, mm-hmm, and emotional abuse,
yeah,
and all, because I mean, while we're growing up, it was mostly physical abuse and, mm-hmm, verbal abuse that we were familiar with. So, but I knew something was not right, but I didn't have the right words. I didn't know how to
place
them. And yeah, then most times you just hear that normal African parents or Nigerian parents ways of doing things. So when I was younger, so I don't know if it's my mind that has blanked out certain things, but I can't exactly remember having any toxic experience with my dad per se, because my dad was perfect example of chastise with love. So if you offend him or you do something wrong, he would beat you or punish you, and then once that is done, the next minute he's talking to you like nothing happened. So you know that, okay, the reason why this, I didn't even understand that then, because yeah, I used to look at him that, what is this man whining me? How do you just beat me now? And then the next minute
you're trying to talk to me and telling me,
yeah, go and bath and come and eat. Really? But I mean, later on I understood that he was just addressing the issue, like, you did something wrong, and we've addressed that, you've been punished for that, you've been beaten for that,
move on,
and then move on. But with my mom, it was a different ballgame entirely. So you can offend my mom and she will not talk to you in the house for the next 1 week or 2 weeks. And maybe if somebody hears all of these things, they'll be like, what is that? She's not just talking to you. But you know, those little things, now I understand that those little things were part of emotional abuse, right? Because if somebody offends you, why don't you just
have the conversation?
Or like my dad beats me, and she will even beat me, or she will shout at me, she will beat, she will abuse, like verbal abuse, and then now start keeping quiet, like silent treatment. She won't talk to you. You're trying to have a conversation with her. She punish you with everything she can punish you with. If she was supposed to give you food, she can say she's not giving you food that day. Or if she was supposed to pay for something for you, she can say she's not paying for it. You know, all of those things. And what I've come to realize with these things is toxic traits are very, very, very easy to take on.
Like, yeah,
you don't plan it, but you just find yourself doing those certain things because you grew up in that kind of environment,
yeah.
Right? So, it went on and on. I see, I can't even start to break down all of the plenty, you know, plenty times, but I know that it went on and on like that, and I started to, at a point, I started to realize that I started zoning out because I felt like, if this woman, if you do something to this woman now, she will not talk to you, she will not do anything. So I just started zoning out and being more on my own, right? And not talking to anybody. And I think that period started, was the point where everything started to change for me, like emotional wise. And it's crazy because I've come to realize that emotional pain is, I don't want to try to, what's the word now, weigh emotional pain and physical pain, but personally I think emotional pain is the hardest to deal with personally, in my opinion.
I think that emotional pain is the most painful,
yeah, because you cannot properly express it, and people want, like, if I have an injury on my leg now, even though people, another person does not have the injury, they can understand why, if I'm walking,
yes, if you're limping,
exactly,
yes,
they can understand. But with emotional pain, people, I don't think they can understand,
yes,
because some people did not go through that, they didn't go through anything, like they grew up in very amazing families, mm-hmm. So when you're explaining some things to them,
they
like,
can't relate, yeah.
Right? And it's very hard to deal with, because especially for me, there was nobody that I could even try to say, okay, maybe if things are not cool with my mom, maybe I can talk to my brother,
yeah,
or I can talk to one elder sibling. I didn't have that, so I was just left with myself. And because of the way things spanned out in the house, communication skills was zero, right? I mean, I grew up in a family where if things go wrong, we cannot have okay, you think, okay, maybe we're younger, that's like you're just trying to discipline the child. Okay, we've grown up, can we like have conversations? Can you sit down with me and say, ah, don't miss this thing you did, though, I didn't like it, you could have done, but no, the only communication that we understand in that house is chaos.
It's chaos.
Chaos. So I mean, somebody wants to, and it boils down to the fact that we keep, because you don't communicate, you know, you keep piling up all of the things,
yeah.
So the day you spark, you are angry and you are shouting, and that's the only way we communicate in that house. So you can imagine, I mean, I left my father's house when I was 25, so you can imagine living in that kind of environment for 25 years and knowing that means of communication alone, like there was no other way. I was not exposed to how to communicate properly, how to express my emotions well, how to, it was chaotic. So I mean, there was that, there was also the part of where I felt like I did not experience enough love, right? Because like I said, maybe my mom didn't know better, right? Because these days I'm trying to extend grace towards them. Maybe they also had that kind of upbringing,
yeah,
and these things, like, they're cycles, right?
Yes,
if you don't figure out that this is what the issue is, you'll not be able to say, okay, I need to stop
it,
and heal from this thing,
yes.
And you just find yourself repeating it,
yes,
and generation to generation, that's how it's going to go. So now I just extend grace and try and understand that, okay, maybe that's how, you know, it was when she was growing up. So I felt like I did not experience love while growing up. A lot of things happened, right, that I can't exactly delve into, that made me come to that conclusion that I remember vividly, because when I was much younger, I used to write a lot. So I used to write things that I feel. Then we used to call it diary now. So I used to write things. And I remember there was a time I wrote something and I said, love does not exist here. Like, it was that bad. I know that it's not like I exactly knew what love was, but
well,
I just
you
knew that,
the feeling.
I just knew that, no, things are not right here. Like, there's no love, there's no peace. Everywhere is just chaotic. Like, everywhere is just chaotic. At the slightest thing, there's so much shouts, there's so much drama, tantrums, you know. And, oh God,
it's keeping toddler.
Honestly, it's crazy. So there's that part. Now there's also the part of between my parents, right? Things were not also great. I mean, there was the abuse part, there was the physical and verbal abuse, and also emotional abuse, really. And then, so obviously that also affected certain things with me, right? I mean, being in that kind of space would definitely affect certain things emotionally, with me, because for the longest time, even up till now, I'm still like very, very skeptical about this whole marriage thing and all of that, right? Then now there is the part, this is more recent. I mean, all of these other parts that I mentioned earlier were they happened as I was growing older. They happened at the point where it was like the critical point of forming emotions, forming. So I already had that issue to deal with. Like I've grown up in this environment and I already have this issue to deal with. Then I now got to like much older, and I had to now deal with toxic relationship with my sibling, right? And most times it gets to me because I remember very well when we were much younger, my brother and I were, I mean, siblings always have issues, we fight, we beat ourselves, but then we'd resolve it and we'd be laughing with each other. And then it got to a part where I can't even explain how it happened. I can't trace back how it started. I just know that we got to a point where it's not like we're stuck enemies. And we're just two. And to bust you guys' heads, we have the same birthday. Like, just different years. So it's 3 years older than I am. And it's just like, this is somebody you're supposed to be the closest to.
Your twin.
Right? And I felt like I feel like if my brother and I had a great relationship, maybe it would have it would have helped me on
healing with this, your parents.
Yeah, because at least I'll know that I have somebody that I feel loved with. But when everybody, and you know, your family is like the first point of contact with how you relate with the outside world, right? So when you don't have that right in your family, like with anybody, it is hard to deal with people and relate to people outside. So with my brother, again, I've extended grace, to be honest. I mean, it's also part of my healing process. And I've also come to realize that from some certain conversations that I had with some people, I've also come to realize that stuff is also doing, like all the tantrums and chaos and everything, it's also as a result of
what he experienced
as well. So initially I was angry, like, is it only you? I felt like, is it only you that grew up in this house? Like, I felt like I was okay because our reactions to the experience we had were different. So his own was pouring it out. He was always angry, shouting, threatening to hit something or hit something on me or something. My own was withdrawn. So because I felt he was always shouting and all that, in my mind I felt like, is it only you that grew up in this house? Why is your own always tantrums? I felt my own was great until I started to relate with people outside and I realized that I have a lot to work on. I have a lot to deal with, right? So with my brother, all of a sudden things just started to go south. And then I remember in 2020, this was when I was back from service, like a year after I was back from service, the tension had been building up. And then one day something led to something and then he hit me. He slammed my phone on the ground. God, I was angry. I can still remember the words, like everything he said to me that day. And I just kept on asking myself that, how did we get here? Like, how did we get here, really? And, you know, from that point, moving forward, it had been one threat to the other, verbal abuse, threats, embarrassing me in public. And I don't know. So I mean, I had to live with all that. And every time I'm angry at myself, because I remember when I went for service, I told myself that I wasn't going to come back home. Not even because of majorly any toxic anything. I just wanted to, you know, settle down on my own and become responsible.
Mm.
But plans did not work out, and then I had to come back home. So every time I'm always angry at the fact that if I had, you know, been more serious with my life, I won't be back here, I won't be battling with all of this. And it went on and on and on like that until sometime last year. So for every time my brother, you know, throws down trumps or threatens me, you know, I'm always scared. So most times I'm just trying to, you know, be safe. And because I mean, I didn't want the physical abuse to repeat itself, because that happened just once and I didn't want it to repeat itself. So most times I'm always scared and I try to avoid him. Like, I was literally living on eggshells in my father's house. It was so bad that if I hear my brother's voice alone, just his voice, I think the voice is even too deep. If I smell his perfume, honestly, because voice is even, you can, it's still audible. If I smell his perfume alone, my heart begins to, like, literal race. Like, I can put my hand on my chest and my heart is beating, like, very fast, very fast. And I'm like, I cannot continue like this. Which kind of life is this one like this? Inside my father's house. Like, I cannot even live peacefully. Right? And the last time, or the day I decided that, okay, I'm leaving this house. Like, nothing is going to stop me. I'm leaving this house. Something very, you know, very trivial happened. And then, again, as usual, chaos. It was throwing tantrums. It was going to stone me with pressing iron. And that day, for some very interesting reason, I was also pissed off. Because, all this while, you're always threatening me and I'll just be chickening out and
just be quiet.
So this day I was very angry as well, and I was exchanging words with him. And that was like the first time I saw his face in one of those moments when he's angry and throwing tantrums. And honestly, I have never seen my brother's face that way before. Like, there was so much rage in his face. Like, there's anger and then there's rage. You can be, like, you can like somebody and be angry with them probably because they did something wrong. But when it's rage, like, it shows how much, it feels like it shows how much hate you have towards somebody. And I'm like, I was actually very scared that day. And I told myself, and my parents were handling this thing with so much
triviality.
Like, it's not, like, it's serious, not serious problem. I'm like, no, hey, Tommy, say, let Satan do the do before you find your square root out of this house. Because every, like, till I left the house, every day, that face just kept on peeling up my head. And I'm like, how, what could I have done that would, you know, make my own brother hate me this much? Like, it was crazy. And that day, I just put on my WhatsApp status. I didn't say it was me that needed a place. I just put it up that I need a place for somebody, that somebody needs a place to stay. Blah 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 blah. And luckily, I got a place, somebody that was not around safe. So I stayed in, I had to live there. Even when I was living there, I did not have money to move. But thank God, because I don't want to say it's coincidence, somebody just randomly messages me and it's like, am I the one that wants to move out? And I'm like, yes. And then it's like, how do I plan on moving out? I said, I don't know, honestly. I was like, you can come and pick me. So you say what? And, you know, he came, picked me up. I just told them I was going to my friend's house. Like, that's my parents. So they thought I was going, because normally I, like, go out and come back the next day. So they thought it was one of those, you know,
waka
periods. Yeah, waka. And I went 1 week, 2 weeks. They did not see me in the house. You know, interesting, they didn't even call me until, like, some days after. Because they just felt it was, because obviously, I mean, something had happened prior to that. So they thought I was angry and I left. I'm not angry. I just want to be safe. Because if I'm taking this thing like it's a joke, before one day
something
worse than that will happen. Do you understand? Because even the day he hits me, how did I even miss that? Even the day he hits me and he was threatening that he was going to hit something on my head, that blood is going to spill from my head, blah blah blah. My mom was not feeling fine that day, so she could not even handle, even if she was feeling fine, how does she want to handle my brother? Really, how does she want to get hold of him? I was happy that day though that my dad was not around, because I don't even want to imagine the drama that would have happened between my brother and my dad. So my mom called her sister, she called one of her friends, the shark came, and my mom that was the day I knew that Tom's here, you're only in this house. My mom told, so those ones were asking like what happened now. My mom told them that so there's always issue of chores in the house, like Domisi is not doing anything, she's not cooking, she's not this, she's not that. So my mom told them that So they were talking to my brother, apparently, that you two, why would you hit your sister? That whatever she did to you, why would you hit your sister? Blah, blah, blah. And then my mom will interject them as she says, and them two, they should tell me that I should be doing Ishele, I should be doing house chores so that my brother will not hit me.
Wow.
Daddy, I looked at my mom like this.
Wow.
Like, let's just thank God for God. Because if I say what was inside my mind, or if I do what was, I looked at her and I'm like,
really?
Like, is this actually what you should say? Like, really? So if, for example, now this guy has actually like injured me, and you had to rush me to hospital, and people
when they ask you
what would you say? Like, would you be able to
not
say,
do housework?
Do you get, because of housework? Like, God. So I mean, that happened, and I mean, from that point in time, I knew that Tomisin, you have to find your square root and leave this house. And then that was before pandemic.
Yeah.
So at that point, I could not even leave, because who wants to open their house, come and stay with
stranger,
with you, right? So that was why I had to stay till like 2021. And then I left, and 2021 was a very unstable year for me. I was moving from one person's house to another person's house, because at some point, the place I was staying, the rent expired, and the lady was not renewing it because she was also moving out of Ibadan. So I had to move from her house to another person's house, then to another person's house, then to another person's
house. If you don't have house.
Ah, God, it was a very, 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 very crazy moment. And every time my mom would call me, you know, we were talking about how the person that causes hurt is just there, philandering and enjoying life. Sometimes my mom would call me, you know, in the midst of all of this, and she's telling me update about my brother that he even went to Lagos for one clinic. I'm like, oh God. Like, you are there, enjoying life, living life like nothing happened, still progressing, advancing.
And I'm the one that's helter skelter.
Do you understand? I had to stop. At that point, I could not even take on any bridal hairstyling job because I was not even
stable,
and I cannot be carrying all my load around.
Yeah.
And so it was just my traveling brand that I had to focus on around that point in time. And
you mentioned twice that you've tried to give them grace.
Yeah.
So how has that been? Because when you decide to give someone grace, most times, not even because this person has apologized to you for what they did, right? But you are trying to give them what they see evidence of that. So how do you say that? Benefit of the doubt. You are trying to give them all, like, you are trying to make excuses for them.
Yeah.
Maybe they did not know better. Maybe they were in a bad mood, and whatever. But when we are to heal, if we are to heal properly from something, first of all, like we were discussing earlier, we have to decide to forgive that person.
Yeah.
Right. And sometimes, forgiving someone, for you to forgive someone fully, sometimes you would want to have closure, want to have a conversation with them. Okay, can we have a chat about this thing? This is how I felt. So how has that been for you? Have you been able to find closure? Have you been able to have those tough conversations as you're in this process of healing? And if you are to pinpoint two major lessons that this whole experience has taught you, what would it be?
Okay, so for the closure part, I've actually been thinking about it a whole lot. And so for context, my brother and I have not spoken this year, like at all. And
this November.
Yeah, this November. So in like this past few weeks, I've been having that urge to have a conversation with my family. But then I decided that, okay, let me start with my brother first. So I actually reached out to him. I sent him a message and I poured out my heart. I said, I don't like how things are between us. That we're just too blah, blah, blah. I sent him all the things that were in my mind, and I told him that I would like us to have a conversation around it. And God willing, I think so far he has been responding what's the word?
Positively,
right? So he was even going to call me, but I told him that I would rather have it in person. Like, I'd rather have the conversation in person. So we are supposed to see, hopefully, before the end of this month.
Okay.
So we'll have that conversation, and I hope it goes well.
Yeah.
And then from there, I can now, or we can both now decide on how to have the conversation as a family, because I think that also is very, very
important.
Very important.
Yes.
Because there are a lot of things that, like I said, they probably didn't know better, but there are a lot of things that they need to know, that a lot of things they did has caused certain things.
Yeah.
I think they need to know that, even if they didn't do it out of, like, even if it was not intentional,
yeah,
that they, that what their actions have caused, even if it was not intentional, I think they need to know. So I hope on having that conversation with them before the end of this year.
Yeah.
Right. So you asked that, what lessons have I learned? I'm trying to get started. So firstly, I think I would say, healing is hard. I figured that healing is hard. Like, so all along, I thought I'd be healing. Actually, I just divide myself. I just divide myself because I think right now is also one of the reasons why I'm very angry at myself and why everything is very overwhelming, because it has now become a cycle, right? Because everything that is happening now, like the way all of these past experiences is affecting my relationship with people, having communication issues, having emotional tantrums. It is, I mean, there are things that have happened before. There are things that have happened while I was in school. There are things that have happened in the past with other people, like aside my family members. So it's happening again now that I am in a new space and having to interact with different people at, you know, close range. It's getting to me because I felt like I had worked on these things. I had healed. Actually, I was just winding myself. I did not do anything. I was just packing all of those things aside and pushing it to one side and thinking that, oh, I've healed. And I actually wanted to stay very happy. So I also, I tried to numb all of those feelings and just do things that made me happy. So I was actually happy. Well, I guess I was happy. But I did not hit
the nail on the head.
Nail on the head and do the proper healing. So now I'm doing the healing and it's hard. It is hard. And I tweeted something recently that the most draining part of healing is the fact that you have to do it by yourself.
Yeah.
Like, as much as everybody will tell you, oh, I'm there for you, I stand by you, blah 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 blah, you're gonna see therapy. You're the one that will do your work by yourself. You're the one that will, you know, sit down, do a lot of introspection, read books, because there are a lot of things that they're unfolding. I'm like, oh, okay, so this is why I
reacted
this,
or
this is why I did this. And the second lesson I would say is, which is, this one is very hard, it's very, very hard, is forgive yourself. I think that's also, I mean, they're all intertwined, right? It's also because now, like I mentioned, I'm in a new environment and I'm seeing things play out the same way they've always been playing out, and I'm angry at myself all over because I'm like, I thought I'd dealt with all of these things. So people will not understand, obviously. People are not supposed to understand, and that's totally fine, because nobody knows what you're dealing with, right? And you also shouldn't use that as an excuse to, you know, be a toxic person to people. But once you realize that you are at the point of healing,
give yourself grace.
Yeah, give yourself grace, because healing will not just happen. Like, it's a freaking long process.
Yeah,
and it's a hard process. Like, it's so hard that sometimes you just want to say,
I'm not doing it again.
See,
look
everybody,
look me, it causes injury.
You people should just manage me.
The
like
person
I'm,
that
this
caused
the way
the injury
I am.
Should come and fix
it. You understand? You know, you just want to do. See, this is where I am. I'm sorry. I'm like this, and there's not what. I'm sorry, Mio. I don't like that about. I don't like that. Like, when I think of the fact that, so if I continue like this, this is the same thing my children will
yes,
come and face.
Yes.
It gives me. I'd rather not marry.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, I'd rather not marry and not give birth to kids, because I cannot even imagine that my children would also go through
sit
this.
Sit down one day and be having this conversation and be saying.
Honestly, so I just I know it's also hard, but I'm also just trying to give myself the grace that don't say you would, in the process of the healing, you would still make mistakes. You still repeat some of these things, but the important thing is at least now you know that you are healing and you are intentional about the healing.
So we've talked about toxic relationship in terms of family. Can we talk about toxic friendships for a minute? Should I start?
Yes. Yes, please.
So I've had my own share of toxic friendships, and people, most times on social media, we see people that have gone through heartbreak, boy and girl, crying. Have you gone through heartbreak?
Girl and girl. No, we're not doing LGBTQ. It's not LGBTQ.
But have you gone through heartbreak with a friend?
Oh God.
Ah God. Do you know that I've actually not chopped breakfast in all my life? Boy, I've not served me breakfast. The person that served me hot croissant. How did they pronounce? The person that served me hot breakfast was not even a sexual relationship. Like, people think that it's easy when someone offends you, it's easy to just break up. It's not life and death. But when this person has been a very integral part of your life, see, the friendship does not even have to be for 15 years.
Honestly.
The friendship can even be 2 years, 3 years. But this person have been someone that you somehow even thought of as a sister because of how much you regarded that person. And then something happens. There's a misunderstanding. And like we're saying, for me, when I come to the point where I feel like there's no point chasing this friendship, is when, number one, the person is ignorant. So something has happened, right? And you are ignorant of the fact that you hurt me. You are ignorant of the fact that you said something or you did something that hurts me, right? I can even forgive ignorance, because ignorance is I don't know. But the second part is, you know that there's, okay, me and this person, we used to be very cool, but all of a sudden we're not talking again. All of a sudden something has happened and you ignore it, instead of saying, okay, can we have a conversation, can we talk about this thing? Yes, I also understand that on the other hand, the person might also be hurt and offended, because as much as you are feeling like, oh, this person hurts me, you're feeling like the victim, in quotes. The person can also be there feeling like the victim, feeling like, okay, you also hurt me. But can we have a conversation? I don't even know why that thing is hard. People think that I'm very confrontational. I like to confront things. But confronting is not even easy. Do you understand? If I pick up my phone, just like you said that you had to send your brother a message, that can be you confronting him. So it's not as if it was very easy. You just woke up one day and just picked up the phone. It's probably something you thought about for weeks before you eventually did it. So when someone that looks like the one that is confrontational confronts the other party, it's hard. That confronting was a very hard decision. And when that confronting is now met with silence,
it's crazy.
That's the worst part.
Or met with not understanding, or trying to shift blame.
Yes. Or not trying, or trying to say, even though, and so then what now happened? Or so that's the summary of what happened to me. And I can remember each time I relayed whatever happened to a third party, I would have to stop myself from crying. That's how much hurt I was. And people that knew us, because we were friends for a very long time, people that knew us would, I went to this place, they're expecting to see me and the person in the same place, and they don't see me. They will send me a message, they call me, oh, I saw this person, but I didn't see you. How far? And me, I cannot start to be explaining to everybody, oh, I'm fine, oh, we are well. But I don't think I've got closure now. I don't think, because I don't know, we've not had a conversation. As much as I've tried to have a conversation, we've not had a conversation. But for me, I just had to tell myself that you cannot keep holding on to this hurt and pain. You have to forgive this person and let go of the hurt and pain, because like they say, when you don't forgive somebody, you're actually hurting yourself more, because that's exactly how I felt. Anytime I saw the person's picture, anytime someone mentioned the name, I would just feel like a fresh slice on the wound. So, guy, toxic friendships is wild. It's wild. And that thing for me, I felt like if you respected the relationship or the friendship that we had, if you had any atom of respect for that relationship, you would have tried to have a conversation or amend it. But if you don't think that this relationship is worth it, then why am I holding on to it? As much as I'm an advocate of forgiveness, reconciliation, all the nice things, I also know that they're not all relationships that are supposed to last for a lifetime. I also know that there are some times that you have to let go. As you're letting go of the pain and the hurt, maybe you pray about it, you ask God to help you. As you let go of the pain and the hurt in your heart, you have to also physically let go of whatever bond or whatever it is that you had with the person. Letting go is different for different people. Different people have their ways of letting go. I can be a very spontaneous person when it comes to letting go. I'm the kind of person that would delete your numbers, block you on all social media platforms. You will never see me close to anywhere around you. That's how I let go, because for my sanity, for my peace of mind, I don't want to have anything. I don't want to see you, right? But some other people, they can be gentle. Me, I'm not gentle. I will cut off everything until I feel like I can be in the same space with you and not feel any hurt or hatred towards you. So what has your own experience been like?
Honestly, I think it's pretty much the same thing. So with this person, it was even more interesting, because I mean, like you mentioned, me, I don't know how to it's hard for me to come and talk about something like, okay, we had an issue, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
The few persons I've been able to do that with, I probably consider you like a safe space. So recently, I realized that most of the time I used to say things like, I'm more expressive, like with my emotions and words.
But then you are not
expressive. But I've come to realize that being expressive is not my problem. It's just being expressive to the right
person.
I want to digress a bit. So I also figured that also has a way from with my upbringing.
Okay.
Right? Because I remember like one or two times when I tried to open up to my mom, and then sometime later, she brought up something. I spoke to her in confidential, brought it up in the open, and wasn't it against me? And that really hurt me. And I now realize that I'm trying to not really feel that hurt.
Yes.
And that's why I'm very, 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 very particular with people I open up to.
Yeah.
So it's not like I say I can't be vulnerable, but I just want to be sure that if I'm being vulnerable with you,
you'll not carry my matter.
Do you understand? Like, you are a safe space, and I am comfortable. Once I'm comfortable with you, both, you will hear your yell. So with this person, right? I mean, I feel like the person at least a reasonable extent ticked that box, right? So when we now had issues and I just saw ghosts like just disappear, like what happened to, you know, having conversations? And then I even still tried to have the conversation, but it just felt like even after having the conversation, there was nothing happened. So I think I just took on the, sometimes you have to just let some people go. And that was the same thing I did. Deleted a number, unfollowed her on all social media platforms. And see, everybody will be fine.
Yeah.
Interestingly, she reached out. I mean, she noticed that, and she reached out. But then you just know that
things cannot be the same again. Yeah. As much as you heal and forgive the person,
things cannot be the same.
Some relationships.
Honestly, I feel like if we are together in a space, I mean, I don't feel any way
off way
towards her, but I just know that it's just better we are both on our
lane.
Yeah. On our lane.
So looking back, is there something that you'd have done differently to either prepare you for that phase of toxic relationship, whether it's with your family, with your friends? Is it possible to prepare ourselves for that?
In my family, I don't think there's anything I could have done differently, because even me myself, I didn't know anything.
Yeah. It started with you being very young. Yeah.
And that was like my first exposure to anything emotional or anything. So I didn't know anything. So I don't think there was anything I could have done better. Sometimes when I even talk about it, people like, you're not supposed to run away from your kinikon. You're supposed to try and, you know,
face it.
And you can amend things from outside.
Yeah.
Because I mean, it was already getting to a part that was threatening to my life. Mm. So I cannot remain in that space. Mm. So I don't think there was anything I could have done to prevent it. But for the friendships, I mean, at that point, I knew certain things to a certain extent. So, but then again,
I think when there is a second party involved,
yeah,
there is a limit to what you can do.
Exactly.
Because you are, most times you react to whatever it is
that is done
to us.
Yeah.
All right. On a scale of 1 to 10, how has your healing process been?
It's tough.
is that 0.5?
Oh my God! It is tough.
Give us a number. A number.
Jesus. Abarajidos.
What is all this?
I'm trying to see if I can even put a number, because the healing process just even started.
Yeah.
So I'm not even.
Give yourself grace.
Yeah.
I'll give a number.
Okay, I'll give a number.
Yes.
I'll say 3-4.
Okay. That is C minus or C plus.
Oh God, honestly. But
what has been instrumental for you moving from 0 to 3-4?
Mm.
What's that one thing that has helped you?
Okay, so I was going to say this at the end, but let me just...
It's the end already.
Okay, it's the end. Okay, good. So I was going to say something to maybe anybody that is, you know, in the healing process.
Mm.
Like, there are... I'm trying to remember now. And I was... three things.
Okay.
Right? The first one is... I know this thing might sound cliche.
Mm.
And from different things I've been reading of recent, they'll tell you that certain things happen to you so that you can, you know, find your way back to God.
Mm.
And it might sound cliche, but it's actually the truth. Mm. Because most times when things are going smooth and good, we tend to forget God
in
all
God.
Of this whole thing. So when certain things like this happen, right, you remember that, okay, there's, you don't forget one Baba God somewhere. So it makes you find your square roots back to God. So one is, I know there's therapy, I know there's a place of therapy and all of that, but there's also the place of, you know, going back to God and praying. Because even the Bible, there are different places in the Bible that talks about healing the brokenhearted and all of those things. So it means that God can actually heal.
Yes.
Like God would actually, and it's not just even physical healing.
Yes.
Like God can actually heal our minds and renew our hearts and renew our minds. So that's one. The second thing is having genuine relationships. Like, not so for someone like me, I tend to, when I'm overwhelmed with a lot of things, I tend to withdraw.
Mm.
Like, I'll just zone out on everything and everybody. Mm. And I'll not, like, I won't tell anybody anything. I'll just disappear. You don't see me on WhatsApp. You don't see me on anywhere. You'll not be watching that. Those that I used to post. I used to post back to back. What happened? It's very important, because so I was talking to a friend and he mentioned something. He said, when a lion wants to attack, like, a flock of sheep, I put it back on them, he looks for the one that is isolated.
Mm.
And it's very easy to prey on the isolated guy, because there's no crowd.
Him.
Yeah, so it's very easy. So I realized that the devil knows this also.
Mm.
And he focuses on our weaknesses, right? So for someone like me, because I tend to withdraw. As you now don't withdraw, I not tell anybody. You did not, you just withdraw and you are isolated. You now start to feed your mind with negative thoughts, negative things. And before you know it, you just find yourself at the tip of depression. Like, it was so bad. It was so bad. Just this past few weeks, that I felt like I was already at, even at the tipping point. Like, my house was a mess. I had not washed my toilet, my bathroom. I didn't even have any clean clothes. Like, I could not bring myself to... I was just living by the day. I just did that, okay, I have to go to work. So, for the clothes I wear on Thursday and Friday, I'll have washed it from Wednesday. So, that I know that I cannot go to work with dirty clothes. Right, so, as much as possible, it's very important not to isolate yourself in that process, because once you isolate yourself, devil will just farabale and prey on you and finish you, and that's when you start to hear things like, you know, suicidal thoughts and all that. But when you have people, I mean, I mentioned earlier that you are not allowed to do the work yourself, quite alright, but when you have people around, genuine people that you can open up to and they won't judge you, they can understand, you know, what you are going through and help you through the process, it's very, very
important.
The last thing I wanted to say, honestly, I've forgotten. So I mentioned God and isolation.
Yeah.
Honestly, I've forgotten the last thing.
All right. Let's hope that she remembers before I finish wrapping up. But I just wanted to add to what you said when you mentioned God. So if you listen to the previous episode, we were talking about how to not navigate seasons, but how to prepare for seasons.
Yeah.
And one of the things I shared was that anything that happens in the physical starts from the spiritual. So when there's conflict in the physical, there's something happening in the spiritual that we need to tackle. And I think that's when you mention God, that's one thing that God will help us to do. God will give you understanding. Like, when we go to Him and ask for help, that, okay, Baba, this is what is happening. No, why am I having conflict with these people? Why is it difficult for me to resolve issue with people? I'm having conflict with my co-worker in the church. I'm having conflict with somebody down in my bus stop. I'm having conflict with somebody. What is the problem? Am I that bad? Then God will show you in the spiritual that there's something the devil is doing. The devil is working. The devil is sowing seeds of discord and disunity in your life. Those people are not necessarily the problem. The devil is the problem. The devil is the enemy. So when you have that understanding, you will now be able to address it in the physical better. You will now be able to address in the physical, like, okay, these people, yes, they hurt me, quite all right, but they are not the issue. The devil is the issue. The devil is the problem. So when you said that whatever it is that we are going through, it's the aim is to draw us back to God, because God wants us to be centered in Him. God wants us to depend on Him. That's the word. He doesn't want us to trust in our own understanding and try to do things by ourselves. He wants us to trust in Him 100%. So sometimes He allows those things to happen to us so that He reminds us that we cannot go through life by ourselves. We need Him to help us. Have you remembered?
I can't remember.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having
me. Thank you for this very long, interesting conversation. Thank you for finally deciding to share this with us. I hope you listened to this point, and I hope that you got one or two things from our conversation. We'll just be praying for anyone that is currently going through healing from any kind of hurt or any relationship, any kind of relationship hurt, and we just pray that the healing balm of Gilead runs through your spiritual veins, your heart, and just helps you to just heal from it, helps you to forgive, helps you to have those tough conversations, and just give you peace. Because sometimes, like I said before, sometimes the person that hurt you might not even forgive, might not come and ask you for forgiveness, might not apologize, but you just having peace of mind that whether this person apologized or not, are forgiving the person, right? I pray that we all come to that point. Thank you once again for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode.
Bye.